Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Here we are, Comadres y Comics. We are your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Welcome back, girls.
It's good to be back.
It's been a while.
Yes, and we apologize for that, but we've been on vacation.
We have been, yes.
Jen went off traipsing into the Guatemalan mountains.
Yes, I did.
How was that trip?
It was good, and then I got sick halfway through, and then I stayed sick, and then it was like not as good, but I got better.
And I see you also came back with such beautiful jewelry.
I did. Every time I go there, I spend basically all my money on jewelry.
Yeah.
And I love it.
It's basically gotten so... Basically, now whenever I go, where there's this one market person who we go to always, and he recognizes me and my sister now. He's just
here
like,
comes
hey.
The chumps.
Oh, my God. No, I have my sister with me, so I'm a chump for nothing, because she can barter to hell and back.
Yeah.
She can talk somebody into selling her their own soul to her. Like, oh, my God, she's so good. But no, yeah, I bought a bunch of jewelry. I ate a lot of good food and stuff like that. So it was a good trip while I was not sick. And I was able, the whole reason I went to was for Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
The Day of the Dead celebrations over there. And we got to decorate my grandfather's grave. And it was nice to be a part of that. So.
Awesome.
That is nice.
Did you get a chance to see those kites?
There apparently kites is a big thing all over the place over there. So I got to see there's like a kite festival in my mom's town, but I didn't go to Zacatepeques, which is where the huge kites are. Mostly because the day that it happens is the day that you have to decorate
grave. I see.
Okay. Are the kites part of the Dia de los Muertos celebrations?
They are.
Okay.
So they're huge. They're as big as buildings.
What are? Is there a significance? Like, is it like to to like be some kind of like ethereal thing that that invites the spirits, or I don't know,
into a different dimension?
There's different stories and stuff like that. Some people said that it's a representation of the soul of the early departing.
I like
and how
that.
Far and how far you can like reach the sky and stuff like that. So
of
like the kites are a guide
but kind tethered of. To your family on the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
So and then there's some people who are saying that, oh, like it's a way like to show, instead of being a guide for the departed to go to heaven, it's more of a guide from the departed from heaven to come back.
To come back,
to come back and stuff like that.
That was kind of what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, the kites are super colorful, so that's one thing that's so amazing, just the color of it. It's like all the colors. It's beautiful. Yeah.
The thing is, the big kites is only in Zacatepeques. Most of the places in Guatemala don't do the huge kites. They do have... Kite flying itself is a thing, and there's like I said, there's festivals and stuff like that, and they sell kites a lot on that day, but I wasn't able to make it to Zacatepeques. It just wasn't feasible unless we owned a car, and I did not own a car. I can't even drive.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to go and do the altar for your grandfather and the rest of your family members and be there with your mother and the rest of all of the family. And it sounds really, really awesome. And I don't have any family in any countries where they celebrate. So I guess I'll have to start my own Dia de los Muertos celebration and altar. I know you do an altar.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do kind of a communal altar. Where everybody that I know that has passed and I have a picture of, I'll just put them on the altar. So
I think that'd be kind of be a cool thing to have
at
the shop.
That's nice, yeah.
Like
that would be wonderful. Yeah. I'm thinking of hopefully doing like one outside my house, but you know, it's Compton, so I don't know if people are going to steal stuff. So, but I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to make my own like paper mache skulls.
Yeah.
That way, if they do steal stuff, it's not something that's valuable or is an heirloom, you know, but still make it colorful and so forth. So, but yes, I do a communal altar inside the house, but I would like to do it outside.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
Really nice.
So where did you travel to, Sarah?
Well, I went to Mexico, Puebla. We actually drove to San Diego and went through the new, there's a tunnel No, that's wrong. There's kind of a bridge that goes from the U.S. to Mexico, and then we got it goes to an airport, and then we just travel from Mexico to Mexico. And it's kind of a annoying because you have to drive to San Diego, but it's so easy customs-wise. Okay. You're not stuck in that long line.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The one that you've seen in movies and all that stuff, that huge line.
It's horrible. Yeah. You're tired. Yeah. You're hungry.
And you could be there for hours. I'm very familiar with this. Yes. I've been to TJ enough times that I'm very familiar with the border customs thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we went to Puebla and I got to go back to the town where my mom grew up and saw the house. Well, actually, it's my house where she grew up in. And the town has changed a lot. There's paved roads now and so forth. The house is really run down. I haven't been there in like almost 25 years.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of like sad and cool at the same time.
Yeah.
But we also went a couple of days to Zacatlán de las Manzanas. Mm-hmm. And that place is actually called one of the Pueblos Mágicos. That means the magical towns in Mexico. And it has the biggest, the tallest waterfall, which we did hike down to.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And we went to the pyramids, Teotihuacan, the sun and the moon. Mm-hmm. You guys saw on our Instagram, I tried to go out drinking there, but I was so tired and there was a lot of security, so no drinking, but I did carry the beer everywhere. And it was awesome. My aunt, she's a high-paced traveler. I like to walk around and get lost, but she's high-paced. She has like, we have 2 hours
an
here.
An itinerary.
We have 2 hours here. We got to go over there, drive an hour, and then go 2 hours here. And, you know, and it's like really tiring. And man, she really kicked my butt. She had been walking 2 to 3 miles almost every day in training for this.
Are you serious? Yes. For her vacation.
Wow. And I should have done the same. I kept saying, I'm going to train. And I never did.
I'm going to train for my vacation.
Yeah. And I never did. I didn't lose weight. And as a matter of fact, I mean, I was really hurting going up the pyramid.
I saw you going up the pyramid. Yeah. I was like, oh, poor Sarah. Well, at least you made it.
I made it. And then on the moon, it was so steep. I just said, oh, no, I can't do this again. My legs were shaking. And then she took us on a hike. Oh, it's like a land of las manzanas. And the thing was, we were so high up, like the when we woke up the next morning, I was having a lot of trouble breathing.
Oh, altitude.
Yeah, and I thought, I don't know what's wrong. Like, I feel like anxiety. And she's like, it's la altitud. It's the cold air, because it's cold up there. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh no, it'll be fine. And then I couldn't even eat. And that's bad, because when I can't eat, there's something wrong. There's something wrong when I can't eat. So, but it was, the whole trip was amazing.
Oh, that's cool.
We got to do a lot of awesome stuff. What about you, Kristen? Where did you go?
Well, you both went to Latino countries, and I went to Portland. I actually went to Hillsboro, which is a small little community outside of Portland, but that's where my brother lives, and I went and stayed an extended weekend with my brother and my two nephews. And it's so funny that whenever I, like last night, I went out with some friends. And they were like, oh, didn't you go somewhere recently? I'm like, oh, yeah, I went to go stay with my brother. And like, oh, my gosh, your nephews are so cute.
Yes. All I can think about is, tía, smell my feet.
Yeah,
I farted.
Yeah, so, and my youngest, my nephews are 7 and 18 months, I believe, around. And the youngest one isn't talking, but is saying words. And he's, you know, travieso, like my grandmother would say, into everything. And Eddie was trying to draw while we were there. And he would, like, want to grab the pens and erasers and stuff off the table. And Eddie would say to him, I see you. And so... And it was just a thing that they did between them. And Connor, who's the youngest one, every time Eddie would say, I see you, would say, I you. And so Eddie just like fell in love with that. And so he comes home and tells me, I see you. And he's not satisfied until I respond, I you.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yes.
Oh,
my God. It was a lot. lot of fun. The weather is a lot colder there. So it's funny that you don't really realize how Southern Californian you are until you try to prepare to go to somewhere cold and don't have any jackets or any snow boots or any gloves or anything.
Mm-hmm. I agree. In this day and age where we have Google and weather apps and everything, I Googled it and I still didn't take enough like bufandas or jackets. At one point I was wearing Frank's thermal because it was just like I'm really cold, and it was really cold at night. During the day, of course, I'm, you know, all summery because I'm sweating because I'm climbing a freaking pyramid, but at night it was just so cold.
Oh my god. So like in Guatemala it was pretty dry until you got to the mountains and stuff like that. So, well, during the day it was temperate and it was a little cold at night. What in my mom's town, in her village, like her village, the one that she grew up in, it was cold throughout the entire thing. I was just like, wow, I can't believe I'm going to freeze to death here.
No.
It was so cold, and I didn't bring any proper sweaters and stuff like that. I was like hugging all the blankets and stuff like that. And they're like, are you really that cold? And I'm just like, yeah, yes. Why aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So that is all to say, gentle listener, that is why we've all been gone for so long.
Yes. So thank you for sticking around, guys.
For sure. And coming back and listening to us again.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right. Well, we have a new segment called ¿Qué onda? ¿Qué onda, ladies?
Well, this week, Jen, this is Kristen, Jen and I, and Sarah, you were invited to, but you weren't able to make it. Yeah. But there was a Skybound holiday party that we were able to go to. Mm-hmm. And you all know, as listeners, that I am a really big Walking Dead fan, that it was my gateway comic. And so any opportunity to be able to go and see where the magic happens, I'm going to take. So we were invited by Amber Garza, who Sarah gave a shout out to her without even knowing a few episodes back when she recommended on her radar the Sandman. What was it? Sandman
Salon.
Salon. I keep forgetting Salon. I want to say Chronicles.
They review Sandman and all of the Sandman universe.
Right.
The Dreaming and House of Whispers and all that stuff. So it's really cool.
So we were telling her that, yeah, oh my god, yeah, Sarah's a huge Neil Gaiman fan and she loves Sandman, and she totally was recommending, and so Amber was really happy about that. But we were able to meet a lot of the creatives behind the scenes and talk to people, hang out. It was an open bar with Walking Dead themed drinks. There was a governor and
An Ezekiel.
Yes. And
nice.
So it was a lot of fun, and there were people there that we knew. Henry Barajas was there.
Cool.
Eric Esquivel was there, and most importantly, our own producer Mackenzie was there. And so there were quite a few people that we didn't know and that we were able to meet and talk to. And there's actually a couple creators who had some books that we were like, oh yeah, we should totally talk about you on our podcast.
Nice.
So
excellent. Did you guys give them cards?
We did.
I did. I gave away quite a few cards.
Yes. I'll be expecting those emails, guys.
Yes. And so it actually turned out to be a really great night. And in addition, I found a really awesome Thai restaurant right next door.
What?
That was so good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
So the night was a success.
Yay. So also we have other news on ¿Qué onda? It's our event happening in January. Can you tell us more?
Yes. So we do have an event coming up in January, and actually the little details and tidbits were all decided upon at this Skybound party with Henry, the author of La Voz de Mayo, Tata Rambo. We are going to be doing a release party for his book. It is at the printers. In fact, he said he's already receiving books back from the printers already. They're going to start, I believe, being delivered to all of you Kickstarter supporters, which I hope all of you did support this project. But his release party is tentatively scheduled at Heidi Ho Comics in Santa Monica for January 26th, and that is a week before his birthday. And Henry said that it would be great to be able to do a half birthday, half book release party. So that's pretty much what we're going to be doing. We're gonna do Saturday after hours event, kind of like some of our other Stranger Comics events that we've done in the past, because this will be more of a fiesta than a signing. and so everyone is invited. I say tentatively the 26th, so that is the date we talked about, but we're just trying to like get some details.
Excellent guys. Also, this is a little late news, but as you guys know, Stanley falleció.
Yes.
They just released his causes of death were heart and respiratory failure. So.
Oh, I hadn't seen that.
Yeah. He passed away on November 12th. So a moment of silence for Stanley. Kristen, what time is it?
It's beer time.
Yes.
And the lovely beer.
We're going to be pouring one out for Stan.
Yeah. And the lovely Jen is going to tell us all about it.
So the beer that we have today is one that Sarah brought from Zacatlán de las Manzanas.
If that beer was at the top of the pyramids, you would have had no trouble getting up there.
Right?
And it is called Nueva Bravery de Manzana. Elaboración de cerveza artesanal con maltas finas de la mejor calidad. Preparamos cerveza gourmet estilo Pale Ale, Ambar, Porter y Stout. Nuestra Amber Ale es una cerveza de sabores a caramelo tostado combinados con excéntricas notas a madera y frutas rojas, obteniendo así una mezcla perfecta. El amargor suave de los lúpulos florales contribuye a un equilibrio del sabor en paladar. Su espuma es abundante así como sus aromas a malta. Sus destellos rojizos seducen a cualquiera.
Ooh. So in English.
So it's they're saying that it's an amber ale.
Yes,
that has
heavy notes of fruits.
Heavy
right?
notes of red fruits and wood.
And wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
this, caramel. I heard you say caramel.
And a toasted caramel, as well as I'm trying to remember what.
And this one in particular has Las Manzanas. There are, I think, two or three manzana breeds that only grow there.
In Mexico? Non-Spanish speaking listeners, manzana is apple.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Forgot to tell you guys.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
Okay. Cheers. Cheers. Whoa. Cheers.
We're already drunk, guys.
It's already late.
No, just kidding.
So, I'm trying to, like, see if I can smell.
The smell was better than the taste for me. This is Sarah. You know, it really pisses me off when I drag myself somewhere and then I carry a beer over to bring to you guys with the promise of
I can see awesomeness. That why Jen would like this, though. Yeah.
I like it.
I'm tasting it, and it is a lot closer to a cider than a beer. It talked a lot about espuma, which is foam in that
there's hardly carbonation.
But there is hardly any carbonation, yeah.
Do you think that's because
I traveled with it?
Yeah. I don't know.
It might be. I mean, where you were, it's in a higher altitude, isn't it?
Right, right.
So there is a thing. Altitude will, because how you make things mm-hmm. at a higher altitude will
yes,
definitely
that's
be
true.
Different when mm-hmm. you're at a lower altitude.
That's why the baking instructions on a cake box are different for different altitudes.
What?
Yeah. mm-hmm.
Well, I did not know that.
Yes.
So that maybe could be it.
This is your first time trying it, so you can't tell us what.
Yeah, I wanted to be really surprised with you guys. I wanted to be like, I should have tried it before legging it down, just like that other one, the chocolate kiss. It had no chocolate flavor in it. I'm still salty about that one.
So this is, to me, this has the.
It's a 5.0% too.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Not the taste, but what is it? The way a beer becomes flat after it's been sitting out for a while, that's what this is like.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's very watery.
Yes.
And no carbonation. There was no head when you poured it
no,
at all.
No. I thought I was being careful because I'm really careful.
Which
about
is
the head.
Interesting because
I've been smirking this whole time once Kristen said head.
Which is interesting because they specifically mention foam in their description.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So now I need to travel to Mexico and get a bottle fresh from the brewery to see what it's supposed to really
because
be like.
If it's in the description, I'm going to believe that it's true, at least over there.
Yeah.
And I think this just might be the case for beers made, because this is the second time we've had kind of a flattish beer from Mexico.
Right,
yeah. Right. That's true.
I definitely think it's
just
an
like beers
thing.
From England. They
ugh,
are
don't even
warm
get
and flat.
That's terrible. That's where
yeah, I was going to say, it reminds me a bit of the British beers.
Yes.
At
Yorkshire Brewery, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Yorkshire. Uh-huh. I was thinking that. But also while I was at the Britannia and at the Ye Olde King's Head, they serve kind of flat beers too.
Yeah.
And I've kind of learned to appreciate it. They're mm-hmm. still not my favorite go-to beers, but I'm also not going to say no to beer. So this kind of, I like the taste of it. I would definitely like to taste it when it does have, you know, head and carbonation.
The smell is, you can
smell. The smell
you can smell,
is amazing, yeah.
You can smell the apples, good. Actually.
The smell is really good.
Which
I had high hopes because when I opened it, I totally smelled it right
away.
Yeah,
the smell is very strong of the apples. I don't smell any caramel. The taste, though, you can't taste, not that you can't, it's not sweet as you may expect mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. something that has such this strong apple smell, but the taste in and of itself is not bad.
Yeah.
It's just a weird, it's not good.
Wow, you're really trying here.
But like I said, it's kind of hard because we don't know if we're getting the real thing or not.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm really sorry about that. I actually, when I went, there was a beer/wine festival going on in the main square. But we were in such a rush to get back to the house because we were going to do a little barbecue at the Airbnb we were at that I didn't get a chance to try it there while they were serving it in off tap. So... I'm going to say this is a fail on me. I'm going to take this one. I'm going to be responsible for this. Because it could very well be, like you said, it's because it's been there for a while. And
yeah.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. are we ready to rate it?
Yeah.
Okay. So on our rating scale of
flaccid to Super Saiyan,
which is one to what? How many are there? Five? Six?
I think there's six.
I am going to. Have I ever done a flaccid before? I'm going to have to give it a flaccid.
I am going with the flaccid as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a partial simply because I know it has potential.
Jen skipped from flaccid right over initial and went to partial, which is kind of not
good,
in the middle, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's better than flaccid for sure. Yeah.
I was gonna say initial, but I do like the potential that it has. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to go to Mexico now to Zacatlán and drink it for myself. And
so
see
Sarah
really
and I gave it a 1 and Jen gave it a 3 out of, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of... A 5, where Super Saiyan is actually a 6 off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah, this I think for me it would be like shrinkage. Yeah. I can honestly, like, if you gave me a six pack of this and a six pack of Tecate, I would pick the six pack of Tecate.
I don't know. I think that's pushing
it. No, I would too. No, I would too.
It is not pushing it.
Yeah, no. I would too.
That's how I feel, and that's it.
All right, your feelings are valid.
So I'm only drinking it because I freaking carried it from Mexico down that big old mountain. No, but yeah, no, I'm not very happy about it. But yeah, that's our rating, guys.
And again, it's Bravery from the brewery is, what's it called in English?
It's Bravery. The brewery.
Brewery's called Bravery. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So this must be like their, you know, like the one that's always on tap or whatever, mm-hmm. you know.
Their signature beer?
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right, guys, what are we reviewing today?
Well, interestingly enough, our Que Onda, it goes right into our book, our first book that we're going to be reviewing today, which is La Voz de Mayo, Tata Rambo.
So if you kickstarted it, you should already have your PDF file.
Yeah, right, uh-huh. Exactly.
Yes,
right. It's the physical copies that are going to take a while to get out.
Yeah.
But
They're coming out in January, right?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Right on.
So we had Henry as a guest on our Las Platicas, and he came on and he talked all about his book, and we were so excited that we were going to be put into the book. And I have to tell you, he sent us the panel that we were in before any of the PDFs went out or before anything was actually presented out to the public. And I was so freaking impressed at how amazing that the artist, who's the artist again? Gonzo, that's right. Mm-hmm. He was just freaking amazing. And it's when you look at the art, there's not a lot of detail, but there's so much detail.
Yeah, like you can tell. Yes,
you can tell who we are. Yes. No question about it.
Mm-hmm. I actually, I showed it from my phone to my nephew, and I'm like, who is this? He's like, that's you and your friends in the podcast. Yeah. I'm like, yes, we're on a comic book. Oh, my God. No, it's super exciting, guys. Oh, yes. My God. I feel like that's it. I could just die now. I'm immortalized. And it's such a great book, by the way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we're just reviewing the first issue because it's going to be a graphic novel that's going to be available possibly by San Diego Comic Con.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the rest of the issues,
not that far away.
Yeah, the rest of the issues are going to be PDF formats, but I think they're going to print out like a trade paperback for San Diego Comic Con, which I'm very excited about. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Nice. So, for those of you who don't remember or maybe have not listened to that episode of Las Platicas, La Voz de Mayo, Tata Rambo is a book that Henry Barajas did about his great grandfather.
Yes.
His great-grandfather, who was very active in getting the, was it Harige tribe? Oh, no, that's his last name. Harige is his last name. Getting a Native American tribe here in Arizona, was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a Mexican-American Native tribe.
Yes, Mexican-American Native tribe. He not only helped them to get federal recognition. I'm like, that word's not right. Recognition. They got recognized by the federal government. He helped with health programs.
Right, exactly.
In their community. Clinic. He helped to prevent the I-10 freeway from going through literally their neighborhood where they had been for decades. And he developed the actual program, MAYO, which is, oh, Yaquis, there it is. Mm-hmm. It's Mexican American Yaqui Organization.
Yes.
And he just really was a grassroots organizer that helped this tribe really to be supported in many different ways. Mm-hmm. And this was Henry's grandfather or great grandfather who he says, he did all this stuff, but that he never really wanted any recognition. And so that didn't sit well with Henry, and he wanted to make sure that this story and that the history not only of his family but of the Yaqui tribe was somehow memorialized. And so that's where we're getting this graphic novel.
Yeah, and in the first few pages, he gives you like a kind of a breakdown of who the story is about,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and why he's telling it, and it feels really heartfelt.
It definitely does.
I was like, whoa. And you know how we had said that it's really important that if you're going to use a different language, and even if you're going to write it in English, to make sure that you cite that they're speaking in a different language.
Yeah.
They totally did that because he was in World War II.
Oh, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And and there's a part where he's having a dream, and mm-hmm, then there's Japanese.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a little snippet down there, mm-hmm, like a little where it tells you, oh, in Japanese. And
that's what it meant.
That's so mm-hmm cool. I'm like, you know, I like that he doesn't think we're dumb as readers. I like that he's, you know, like putting things as they should be and then kind of giving us a little like glossary.
Yeah.
I mm-hmm like that.
Well, as far as just the intro being heartfelt, I think that sentiment and that feeling came across throughout the whole book.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I really got that the person who wrote this book had a personal investment in it, not just that it was their story to tell as maybe a fiction story, but that there was a personal investment that this is his Henry's story about, mm-hmm, his grandfather, about someone he knew, about a legacy that he wanted to make sure was handed down, continuing into the future generations of his family.
Yeah, absolutely. For instance, like if anybody from his family or that wants to know a little bit of the history of the town of Pascua, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they could just break out the book and say, here, why don't you read this? It'll give you some insight of what went down.
Yeah.
You know? And mm-hmm, I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because he went and did a lot of research. I mean,
he did.
The library. He did a lot of microfilming and so forth. Mm-hmm. A lot of interviews. So, I mean, he really went balls out. I love it.
At the back of the mm-hmm PDF that was sent out to everybody, and which is part of, I'm assuming, going to be part of the first issue that is going to be put out to the Kickstarter supporters, there is a ton of the paperwork, the files, the documents that he used as part of his research that he did for this book, and even little minute things like phone messages that secretaries took or handwritten notes on like college ruled paper that were just handed to people in meetings or after meetings. I mean, just in my mind, I was thinking, you know, these people who kept these things around, they really knew, I think, how what they were doing, like how important the work that they were doing at the time for them to have kept this all mm-hmm around.
Exactly. Even the paper, newspaper clippings, some of the mock-ups of the Voz de Mayo newspaper as well.
Newsletters,
yes. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is just really amazing. I think I love, I'm sure that, you know, like, I'm sure that he was, I mean, how could he know what, you know, what transpired, like the conversations between
right
the people, but you kind of mm-hmm get a sense of who the grandpa was,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
in the small conversations with his wife, with his children, with the organizers of Mayo, mm-hmm, with the politicians as well.
Right.
So, I mean, it really comes across seamlessly. I mean, you get to know him and you're like, man, I really would love to meet him. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but most of the times he's smiling. And then I was like,
I didn't notice actually.
At first I was like, man, he smiles too much. But then I looked at the pictures in the back. I'm like, oh, he always smiles. that was really nice to see, because that you kind of tie that in with the real person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I like the fact that he brought that out in the art. Mm-hmm. So that was really awesome. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if you guys noticed, there was a little snippet where he's serving himself coffee, mm-hmm. but I think he puts a little bit of liquor in it.
No, I didn't notice that.
And I thought, oh man, we would have been buds. We would have hung out.
But I didn't notice that.
Yeah, apparently from the interview that we did know that he'd smoked, and I think he passed away from complications of emphysema.
Oh.
So, but like with everybody, we all have our little things. I love to have beer. That's what I love to do. And I would hope that if somebody wrote a comic book about me, they put a little bit of my love for beer in there, you know?
In every panel.
In every panel. But, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Henry, that's what I saw in, you know, in the breakfast scene. You know, it was really subtle.
Yeah.
Like really
just little things, little actions that give animation or personality to the kind of people.
Well, speaking of subtle, there was a little bit of a cliffhanger at the end.
Yeah.
And
I know.
And I think that it was really interesting to me the way that the story is being told, because I feel how difficult it might be for somebody who is very close to the subject matter to be telling a story and have to also be sharing things about your family member that might not necessarily
might not sit well with everybody. Yeah. It's kind of unpalatable.
Right.
A little bit, but I can kind of respect it as well.
I do. I totally, as a storyteller, mm-hmm. And having to do that, and as a creative mm-hmm. decision, I guess. I respect that, because his whole goal, I'm having to assume, was to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Of what happened, you know, of who his great grandfather was.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I mean, as a reporter, that he has a background in, mm-hmm. I think he wanted to.
You have to be unflinching about the truth.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
As hard as that may be, and I think he even mentioned that there, you know, were sometimes some hard truths that he learned mm-hmm. when he was doing his mm-hmm. research and when he was talking to people. So, I really, that actually, when I got to there and then there was no more, I was like, what?
Yeah, I need to know. I totally get it. And, you know, the cool thing is, like, I was really honored because one of the clippings says Yaqui Indians expanding candle making business. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we were making candles.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I'm part of the Yaqui Indian tribe. Yes. Sort of. But yeah, I thought that was awesome. I was very honored to be represented as a character mm-hmm. in that sense. I was like, yes.
So even just historically, as far as Southern California and Mexico and all of the land issues that have gone on between those two territories for so long, I found it very interesting, and I bet you a lot of people don't realize that there are a lot of indigenous mm-hmm. Tribes that are here that were originally tribes that were part of Mexico. Mm-hmm. And because of all of the territory back and forth and stuff, they ended up over within the United States. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that, because I, mm-hmm. as I was reading, was going back and forth, and I didn't get that until at some point they were making the mention of starting in Mexico and then coming here. And mm-hmm. and so I found that really interesting, and it's something that I'd like to learn more about.
Yeah, and I think as we read the other issues, we're going to definitely read more about that and learn, as you said, more about that. So that's why I'm really excited. As you guys know, this is Sarah, and I love comics that teach me something that I don't know about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And open my eyes to something that I would have never had known about mm-hmm. had it been for that comic book.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I learned was that there's a point where you were saying that they were born in America, but because they had Native American and Mexican backgrounds and they couldn't have what was theirs, they would go to Mexico, and then they wouldn't be given the rights as Americans.
Right.
Even mm-hmm. though they were born.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, man, I had no idea.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't either.
Sorry, I got a little sentiment. But yeah, there was some moments that I was like, because I did try to read a lot of the extra footage, extra information yes, put uh-huh. in the back pages. And I was just like, man, this is hardcore. Like, man, somebody really went out there and said, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And said, I'm, you know, no matter what, I'm going to do this because this is what's right.
I mean, mm-hmm. getting registered as an official tribe was such a big deal mm-hmm. Because they weren't recognized. Mm-hmm. And I think that there may be some things that we haven't seen here that maybe we'll see a little bit more in future. But I feel like the fact that they were quote unquote Mexican might have been an issue because the politicians were like, well, they're not real Indians type mm-hmm. thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And in fact, he shares in this issue how the politicians themselves were so super like crass and like talking down about Indians and just like making you know, stereotypical comments and stuff like that, and how it must have been showing how it must have been such an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, for this is all taking place right in the heart of the civil rights.
Yes, era. In the '60s.
Mm-hmm. In the '60s, so we know that many of these people of color, black, brown, yeah. mm-hmm. Native American, weren't getting any of their rights
right.
mm-hmm. at all. And so just them being super crass and
yeah.
stuff like that was part of the norm. And now, now we recognize that wasn't right.
Right.
But at the time, nobody was there to tell them that there wasn't that recognition. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of, like you said, that unhesitating, that unflinching take on the truth is what's real.
Yeah. And I just have to say again that Gonzo's art is just so amazing.
It's
and
so good. I love
the background of Arizona and the colors and the hues
yes.
and
mm-hmm.
that he uses. And even when he is in San Francisco, it's just so great and perfect. Such a perfect pairing for this book and for the story that was told. And I really can't wait to read more, and was just so in awe of what this project actually, the end result ended up being, and I can't recommend it enough.
I really like that art page. It was done by Ben Mackey.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I don't know if you can see it. There's like a warrior in the background.
Yeah.
And
uh-huh.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was looking through information because I read it, but I can't remember it now, what MAYO stands for.
Mexican American Yaqui Organization.
Thank you. I should have just asked you.
But, yeah. I believe that's what it is.
Yeah.
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 But yeah. So, I gotta say that we had interviewed him. I had been so excited for this project ever since he told me about it at WonderCon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. There was supposed to be some kind of like little information out in Comic-Con last year, but nothing was done on time. So I've been looking forward to this for a while, but in the back of my head, I was like, God, I hope it doesn't suck. I know. Did you guys have that feeling?
No.
I did. I was like, God, I'm like, it sounds so powerful, but I hope it, you know, transcends uh-huh. into mm-hmm. what it's supposed to be. And I was afraid of that, but I gotta say, all that was squashed once mm-hmm. I read the first issue.
Well, completely. I mean mostly because Henry is
Harry.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Henry is part of the industry.
Right,
He works for Top Cow, which is an imprint of Image. And he himself has done reporting mm-hmm. and a bunch of other stuff. So I knew that, well, that one, he has experience, or he right. at least yeah. knows what to do when making a comic. But above that, as a reporter, he knows how to write. He knows how to tell a story. Mm-hmm. So I was... I was looking forward to it, and I was just like, I'm pretty sure this is going to be good.
She was strongly confident where I was.
I didn't think of, I didn't think any of that. And then once he showed me some of the panels, I was like, I don't even care that there's no words. I'm all in for this book.
I'm very excited that it's so good. Do you guys want to add anything else? I don't want to spoil anything.
I know, I'm trying to not really say anything.
But there
either.
Is a cliffhanger at the first issue that I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
that's
it,
really
it was good. That was a great way to kind of end it. So, but yeah, I'm very looking forward to the next issues. I'm definitely so looking forward to getting the trade paperback. My brother's already saying, where can I buy more of these issues?
Awesome.
And so that I could show the family that you're in it.
You know what, that is the trick. You get people to pay money to be in your comic, and then they come and buy up all of the issues once you print them to share and show to people.
absolutely. See, he knows his stuff. What was I saying? But you guys want to add anything else? I mean, I'm really thrilled with this comic.
I don't want to share any more of the story because I think we did a good job of saying what it was about in our last platicas and a little bit here. I don't want to do any spoilers, but the only thing that I can add is just to repeat that this was amazing and that I would highly recommend it for anybody to read, and that I not only enjoyed the story, but I learned.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I learned a lot about our the geography and the history of the Yaquis.
Absolutely. So are we ready to rate it, guys?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to go with tres conchas, and I think I'm going to have like a Mexican coffee with it with a little bit of tequila inside. I think that's where I'm going with this.
All right.
Okay, well, this is Kristen, and the other day, and I shared it on the Komalasi Comics page, it was the concha bread pudding, and it was made with vodka, and they, like, crumbled up 3 conchas, and then they put, like, cream and cinnamon, and they sprinkled some, I don't know if it was vodka or tequila, or I don't know what, and they put it in, oh, and some egg, and they put it into the crock pot and cooked it for 2.5 hours, and it came out as this wonderful, like, bread pudding souffle. That is what I'm giving this book.
Wow, that's awesome.
Damn.
The concha souffle.
The concha souffle.
That's
kind of
a new rating.
That's 3 conchas and just mixed with a whole bunch of awesome goodness, and yes, definitely deserving of a new rating.
Nice.
I'm going to stick with our traditional rating and go with 3 conchas and a cup of champurrado because it's really good and I cannot wait to read more of it.
That was a rating, guys. It was stars and stripes everywhere. We're all excited. So if you can get your hands on it, definitely do so. I think you could still buy a digital copy. So we'll put that link up on the page. So guys, this was only one issue of the comic book. So we are reviewing another one. What are we reviewing today, Jen?
We are reviewing Hero Hotel by Yehudi Mercado, done by Fanbase Press.
Yay!
So, I'm actually surprised we hadn't done this before because we'd known of Yehudi for a very long time now. Ever since
he actually did a signing at Heidi Ho for Hero Hotel.
Yes, he did. I remember this.
Oh my God, I'm dropping the ball on these events.
Well, this was quite some time ago, and it's funny because when he did the event, it was raining, literally just... so much rain coming. I'm surprised that the shop didn't flood at that point.
God.
Yeah.
That
and so it was really kind of disappointing because he and Barbara traveled all the way over there to be at the signing, but there wasn't hardly anybody in the shop at all just because the weather was horrible. So it was kind of an unfortunate situation for the day that he picked to be there. But we had
Jen and I were there, and we had talked to him, or we were getting some information about the, and we hadn't even started, had we even started doing
No, we hadn't started Comics yet.
I mean,
I was going to say, because some of the references in the book are a little dated. Like, you can kind of know what year it was in. And I was like, I don't, did we already do Kamala Comics? I'm not sure. But he does the illustration and the writing of this book. So, but plus, I don't think I don't think we had yet started recording.
I don't remember a specifically the day that he came, but I feel like it was before we started. And I was just, I think, tossing around the idea, and I was talking to him and asking him just questions about his book and about his name and things like that. And then we just never revisited it. And we've had the book on our neighborhood watch at the shop for quite some time. And people pick it up and look through it, and we've sold copies. I just never got around to reading it. Now I'm just so glad that I have.
I completely agree with you.
It's a lot of fun. It is an all ages title, and Yehudi himself is Mexican American.
He's Mexican, and he's a Jew. He's Jewish. Yeah. Yes, he's. Uh-huh. What did you say? He's a Jewish Mexican.
Yes,
or is it Mexican Jew? I'm not sure. Yes,
and this is Sarah, and I actually met him at Asian Comic Con. It was very brief because I got there a little late, and I actually bought the pizza one from him when I was there, but I haven't read it, and I'll tell you why. Because when I started to read it, it had a soundtrack. And it said it's best enjoyed while listening to the songs per chapter. And I haven't gotten around to compiling that yet. So I haven't read it. But
wanted to download all the songs.
Yeah, listen to them as I'm reading it. But it's on the docket for me to read.
What's it called?
It's kind of like, I can't remember the name, but it's an Adventures of a Pizza Delivery Guy.
Really?
Yeah, and that was not all ages.
Okay.
So it has a little, I imagine there's a little bit of swearing kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So
interesting.
So I'm
just looking at the back on his list of other comics by him to read, but there's nothing that actually says pizza, so I'm not sure which, it might not be on this list.
It could be, I'll have to look into it. I'm sorry, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I do remember picking that up at the Asian American Comic Con. That was held at the Asian American Museum, where George Takei was a special guest.
Yes, I remember your picture.
Yes. Let's carry on with the review. I already love the artwork, by the way. It's so cool.
It's so cute. I love it so much. It's the story about Chet, who is the kind of kid who always gets in trouble. Yeah. And so he is sent by his mom to stay with his grandmother, his grandma Z, who runs a hotel at Hero Beach. And basically, this hotel is where all the superheroes go to have time off and to rest and relax. And what that means to them is that don't be bothering them with your problems or with your villains or with the meteors coming to destroy the world, because they're not having it, because
they're on vacation.
They're by the pool enjoying their iced teas or whatever.
They're off the clock.
Off the clock. So Chet goes to stay at Hero Hotel with his cat Boomer, who in the very beginnings of the book actually by some unfortunate or fortunate event drinks some like magic milk or something.
Power milk instead of powdered milk.
And gets he's talking and he gets kind of some powers. And so when things go wrong, Chet and the rest of the staff at Hero Hotel usually are the ones who have to deal with it.
Oh yeah. And it's so Oh my God, I love the characters, all of them, including the superheroes, who, by the way, are assholes when they're on vacation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're totally, they don't tip. They don't, you know, they want a late checkout. They want all these Long Islands. They want like millions of towels, or they complain about the pool. It's too hot. Yeah. Oh, it's too cold. Like, they're just the worst of the worst.
They're divas. Yes.
Total divas. And I love it because all of these superheroes kind of have like a little... doppelganger in the MCU or the DCU. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's a lot of fun to read this representation.
They're definitely spoofs off of popular
characters,
superhero characters. Honestly, my favorite one was probably the Iron Man spoof one.
Oh yeah.
What is it? It was called Magnetic Man or something like that, Mechanical Man. But basically, what happens is that the cat in Boomer,
mm-hmm.
Gets into his armor and ends up flying off instead of helping to defeat a symbiote alien that's trying to eat Chet. And
that is
that was on the
that was on
he thought web- it was a stain when he was doing laundry.
Uh-huh. That was on Web Warrior's clothes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Which is, as you can kind of guess as to, no, you can pretty much guess who most of these superheroes are spoofs off of. But the entire premise of the story is that Chet is supposed to be or become one of the greatest supervillains of all time.
Yes.
And honestly, I can see it. Look, customer service will turn anybody into a supervillain. And I 100% agree with that. I was just all like he's supposed to be the greatest supervillain of all time. And I'm just all like, after seeing how the superheroes treat him, I'm rooting for him.
But it's true. My favorite was Spider-Spy.
Yes.
Oh, who was a spoof on Black Widow.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And he's doing laundry. And that was so funny. Chet is doing laundry. It was a punishment that his grandmother gave him. He had to go do laundry because something happened. And he comes across a bra. And it's Spider-Spy's bra, who is a spoof of Black Widow. And he drops it or he throws it. And all these weapons and tools and stuff start falling out of the bra. That was so funny.
It was really great. I really enjoyed this. I enjoyed all of it. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I really love, like, in between the stories, which I'm assuming would have been issues.
Uh-huh.
They have like posters of like the superheroes,
right? Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and they resemble their like doppelgangers in the universe. I thought, oh, these are great.
Yeah, they really were.
So like there's the one the spoof on Wonder Woman. It says she'll take this world by storm, Thunder Woman. It's so cool. These are so great.
They're so inventive. Like
they really are.
How they managed to redesign their outfits and everything, and but still keep true to the character that they're being a spoof off of.
Yeah.
How like you can immediately tell Spider-Spy, different name and everything, and even different outfit, but you can tell that she's Black Widow.
Right. Yeah.
Definitely.
Uh-huh. And the Web Warrior is Spider-Man. Noble Metal is Superman.
Superman.
Mechanical Man is Iron Man.
Right. Yeah.
They even make a joke about his drinking problem.
He's just like,
don't ask him for help. He's 6 mojitos in.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? You know what, Mechanical Man? I understand that. 6 mojitos in, and I'm barely cohesive.
Coherent.
Coherent, cohesive. I'm not coherent now.
I think that those little like jokes and stuff were so funny. There was something else in there that they said that I was just laughing. And the cat is like hilarious.
Oh my God, he's so awesome. Boomer, yes. I love him.
And he's so cute.
He is. And I love, like, he's there's adorable. Representation in this book. I mean, they have the little African-American girl that he befriends.
Mm-hmm,
and then the bellhop guy, he's Latino. Mm-hmm. And then you have a Hawk guy who tries to be a hero, but he's on house arrest.
Yeah.
It's so cool. I love it. And then the cat representing animals.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I think I want to say that I remember when I was speaking to Yehudi when he was at the shop, like, what gave you the idea? And I think he mentioned it kind of in the back, too, that as little kids, they used to play hotel. Like, that was their, like, go-to, like, imagination game, imaginary game. And I thought that was so cool. Like, I'd never heard of hotel as a game.
As a kid's game.
Game before, yeah. Like, I used to play bank with my grandma or supermarket, but never hotel. So I thought that was cool.
I would do treasure hunt.
Oh, yeah.
I played teacher with my aunt.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I used to do that with my brother. So I thought that was kind of cool. And then to make it into this story. And at the end, it does say to be continued. So, Yehudi, I'm waiting. You had the signing at Heidi Ho a couple years ago. And let's see, when was this? This, I believe, has a production. It was only 2 years ago. It was 2016. So I guess I'll give you a pass.
doing a graphic novel takes time. Yeah. We understand.
But I'm ready. And I'll be waiting for it.
We want that sequel.
Does he also do... Oh, no, no, no. That's Sebastian that does Penguins and Possums.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Who is this guy? I forgot his name. The one that does he's sort of like the brainiac of the group. He's the one that took him into the interwebs.
Oh, the cyberspace. I don't know if he was supposed to be a spoof off of Vision or if he's his own original character that they did, or maybe he's a spoof of just some other superhero that I don't know, but I want to go ahead and say Vision, but he might not be, or he might be.
Anyway, there's a part but where
Font.
He's like,
his name is Font.
Font, that's yeah. Right. Yes. I loved his name. But one of the things that is kind of a foreshadowing, I don't know, but he mentioned while he was trying to get into the interwebs and stuff, he said, "You are the one." So he knows something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited. I want to see what happens. And then did you guys see the after credit scene, which I thought was cool? I don't want to spoil anything, but you definitely want to read past about the
yes
you want to read the whole thing because there's an after credit scene that is just amazing. I love
it's yes. Really funny and really really true to form.
Yes, exactly. It is true to MCU form.
So and I really love this haunted hero hotel. It kind of reminds me a little bit of a creep show kind of.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I actually really liked that rendition of Chet and the cat.
Yeah. Yeah. Boomer. Oh my God. They look great. They look great. But yeah, I love, I just love this book. It's so fun. It's a lot of fun. When I was reading it, I was like, I want my nephew to read this because it's so cool.
Yeah. Now that I've read it, I definitely will be able to have a lot more insight into recommending the book to people. And we have people coming in all the time wanting all ages books. So I'm actually really glad that we finally read it and that I will be able to recommend the heck out of this for people coming in looking for a cool book for their kids.
There's also some villains in there, so it'll be a lot of fun to read. So I enjoyed it greatly. And he's kind of a problem solver. He like takes on a task and like he finds a way to fix it. So I really like that he, even though he, I guess in my eyes, I feel that he was kind of like labeled a loser because he's always getting into trouble.
Right.
But at the same time, he's like the MVP of this whole book.
Yeah.
So anyway, are we ready to rate?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to go tres conchas on this because I really loved it. I can't wait to see the rest of the story unfold.
Yes. This is Kristen. I agree. Three conchas for Hero Hotel by Yehudi Mercado. I am very excited to start recommending this to customers now that I actually have read it.
agree with the ladies as well. I'm giving it three conchas and I can't wait to start recommending it because I hadn't read it and now I have. And I really liked it.
Excellent, guys. And now it's time for On My Radar.
This is Kristen, and I have a book that is on my radar that I wanted to talk to you about. And it is a book that actually flew under my radar. It came out a couple of weeks ago in November, actually, and I didn't even see it and just happened to pick it up the other day and was like, oh my gosh, how did I miss this Scotty Young book? Middle West is a new book by Scotty Young that came out on November 21st, and it is it has a artist, Jorge Corona, who is actually Venezuelan. So we have a Latino, a Latinx creator on this book with Scotty Young. And Jorge actually was the winner of the 2015 Russ Manning Award. So, and he's actually, when I was looking him up, he's done a lot of work in the industry. So if you are interested in supporting a Latinx artist, Jorge Corona is someone that's out there doing a lot of work. He actually did Number One with a Bullet, too, I believe it was. But anyway, Middle West is described as the lands between the coasts are vast, slow to change, and full of hidden magics. Mistakes have been made, and in this new ongoing series, an unwitting adventurer searches for answers to quell a coming storm that knows his name. From author Scotty Young and artist Jorge Corona. Yes, he's done Number One with a Bullet, Feathers, Big Trouble in Little China, Old Man Jack. From these creators comes the tale of Abel, a young boy who must navigate an old land in order to reconcile his family's history. And the first issue has Abel kind of, he has an abusive father who he gets kind of into a fight with, and the father turns into this big monster that kind of turns into like a gale wind and is like blowing him, and the little kid's like, oh my gosh, and he's like torn between being scared of this thing coming after him and scared of the fact that his father just transformed in front of his eyes. And for some weird reason, in this book, from the very beginning, there's this little talking fox that Abel is like talks to and like hangs out with, and the fox saves him and helps him to get away, and that's the whole first issue. But there's a lot of other stuff that happens in there, and a lot of backstory and stuff. But it was very, very engaging and interesting to me. And Scotty Young seems to really enjoy the like child on a quest type. I mean, he does I Hate Fairyland, which is like the quintessential child on a quest story. But this actually, I think, promises to be really amazing with the whole magic realm and kind of description that I've seen when I looked up the information. So I definitely recommend Middle West. Number One is already out, so at your comic shops, you either can buy it if it's on the shelf or ask them if they can order it. And Number Two should be coming out this month at some time.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I have a on my radar. So this is Sarah, and I've noticed that there's fanny packs at Marshall's.
yes.
There's fanny packs at Ross, and there's a bunch of fanny packs at Nordstrom Rack. These are the only shops I go to because I don't like to buy clothes regular price. Mm-hmm. I hate that. So noticing this, and then I noticed that Henry Barajas also has a fanny pack.
I saw that.
That was the logo was designed by Gonzo as well.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what is going on? This fanny pack craze is coming back. So I think it was Quinte Ortega who started it all. And if you guys know, Quinte Ortega is from our favorite character in Border Town. So thanks. Now I got to get me a fanny pack. So that's what's on my radar.
Fanny packs are a fashion crime. So I will not be joining this fanny pack craze. My siblings have. They bought a...
Oh, really?
Look, they bought a Supreme fanny pack, and I am enraged.
What does that mean, Supreme?
Supreme is a very popular...
Was it a label?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I didn't know.
Not just a label. It's just streetwear. It's a streetwear brand.
Okay. Yeah.
That's very popular because they don't do a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Like, or they do like, I guess, like, limited runs on their clothes.
Oh, okay. So
like
that's what makes it like hip and stuff.
Yeah. So if you were like, it's one of the older streetwear brands, but it's also one of the more popular ones and the more recognizable ones. So there's a kind of a debate whether it's really streetwear or not, but it's making money, so it's streetwear. But they basically, like, one of these fanny packs costs like $100, $200.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Truth be told, I bought mine to do the Quinte cosplay.
I remember you said you were looking for
one.
Yeah,
I got me a red one. It was $5 on Amazon. Just letting you guys know.
Well, you got it just in time because that very same backpack is like $100 now. I mean, fanny pack.
But yeah, no, so they bought one, but I'm just like, and then one day we were going somewhere, he's just like, do you want to wear the fanny pack? And I'm just like, not until death takes me over. So,
oh my God, I wanted to cackle, but I couldn't. I lost my breath.
So,
oh my God,
they can wear it, but you won't catch me dead in one of those.
Oh wow. Okay. I'm sorry. What was that again? I'm gonna write this down. Not until death takes me over.
Yeah.
I love it.
Even when they came around the first time, I was never on board.
Wow. You know, they have some that have an integrated speaker, Bluetooth speaker now, too.
Oh, why?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Reaction. I'm excited. She's like, why?
Why? Look, why would you want to make yourself look like you have extra barriga? Like,
yeah.
That's true. Yeah. And there are some that they sell on Amazon right now that have a print of a barriga.
Oh my
What's
God.
A barriga?
It's a stomach. So like if you wear a fanny pack that actually has a print of
right.
a stomach
uh-huh.
with the hairy
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually came this close to getting one of those just for the fun of it.
Sarah, but, please.
Okay. Actually, that brings me to the point why I didn't like them. I never found one that fit around me good. Like I'm barely clicking it on. How is that even like?
Okay.
Oh, man.
And then it just settles nicely under the lonja. And then you can't even tell I have one on, so what's the point?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God. Oh,
I'm sweating, guys, and I'm crying. Oh, Lord. That was hilarious. So that's when what's on our radar. Unless you. Okay. Now it's time for Juntos y Fuertes.
So, today on Juntos y Fuertes, actually, because you were talking earlier about San Lee's passing, it reminded me of an organization that I think has done a lot of good work in the comic industry and continues to do so. And although Stan Lee didn't necessarily need their help, there are a lot of creators out there that do. And the organization is called Hero Initiative. And the Hero Initiative was started in order to help a lot of the older creators, like in the gold, silver age, who were just contract workers and didn't really have any kind of retirement or didn't have any medical insurance or anything like that. And people who were working in industry at the time where when they were creating characters, those characters were not their property. It was the intellectual property of the company that they were working for. And so a lot of the money and if it was, a character that got a lot of became very noteworthy in the future, they didn't really see a lot of that return because they signed their name away. Back in the day when comics were seen as just, you know, child's fodder and, you know, ephemera that could just be thrown away, they didn't really, you know, they had a job, they got paid, they didn't really see, you know, that might be an issue in the future. So the Hero Initiative raises money in order to help to support the creators in the industry that need support either with health issues or, you know, any kind of things. It creates a financial safety net for comic creators who, like I said, might need emergency medical aid or just the essentials of life. And since its inception, the Hero Initiative has been able to benefit over 40 creators and their families with over $400,000 worth of much-needed aid. And it's all by contributions.
Oh, wow.
Usually, you'll see their booth at a convention, and they will have, like, raffles, or they'll have...
Yeah, I've seen them at cons.
Yeah, they'll have signed books that creators have donated, so that they can sell, and the money all goes into their fund to help creators. So you can find out more information about the Hero Initiative at heroinitiative.org, and you'll be able to find out information about how to make a donation and even volunteer. The booths at the conventions are usually manned by volunteers. So it's an amazing organization for a community that I think often doesn't get thought of as being in need.
Most definitely. I mean, you know, one of the problems that we have is that we kind of forget about our elderly. And that's when they need us the most, because they have a lot of health issues. They don't have enough funds to actually sustain a living.
Yeah.
You know, and as independent contractors that they were when they were younger, because they're trying to, you know, support themselves,
Right. Actually
ends up backfiring because they don't have kind of a safety net to fall back on. So I think this is wonderful that there's somebody out there who's trying to help these creators, these really creative artists out too. So thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Absolutely.
Okay. Saludos goes out to En La Mesa. It's for it's called En La Mesa, and it's a Café con Leche Nerds podcast. And they also do some YouTube videos. But I'm really loving their podcast En La Mesa right now. It's really interesting.
Oh, cool.
They have a lot of guests that come on and speak about specific subjects. They so they're amazing. So the saludos to you guys. Keep on doing what you're doing. All right, guys, that brings us to the end of our episode. Do you guys have any shout outs, any information that we want to share with the listeners?
Actually,
well, we have a signing coming up.
Yes.
Yes.
I was like, actually, I do. I have something very important to say. We do. We have a signing at Heidi Ho Comics coming up on December 30th, which is a Sunday. I know that Sunday is a lazy day, but it's also a fun day. So if you can make it out to Santa Monica at 412 Broadway, between 4th and 5th in Santa Monica, between 11 and 1 on December 30th, you are going to find yourself face-to-face with Jandro Gamboa and Bernice Telly, who are the creators of Monty Gomez is a Luchador. And that is the amazing comic that we reviewed back in episode 24. We gave it tres conchas all around. We loved it so much. It was just amazing. And they will have not only the first issue, but the second issue is already out. And he's working on a one-shot spinoff about the villains in this book that he came about the idea solely from us, from our podcast, just talking about the book, wondering about the villain group and saying, hey, that would kind of be an interesting story. And when he listened to our podcast, he was like, hey, that would be interesting. So he is going to write that story.
Los Máximos. I'm very excited about that, guys. It sounds super cool. And hopefully you guys can make it and get those issues signed. They're a super awesome duo doing this comic book.
Yes, they are.
I'm very excited for you guys to meet them. They're super nice. And who knows, maybe we'll have some beer tasting there. I don't know. it could be a thing. So come on down, guys. Put it on your calendar. Any other information, Jen?
You can follow us on Twitter at Comic Comadres.
And you can always find us on Facebook, also at Comic Comadres.
And we're on Instagram, and we have a Snapchat. That is all.
And Instagram is Comadres y Comics.
Thank you, because I didn't know.
Yes, and you can find us on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Podomatic.
Ooh, good job.
There you go.
Nice. And if you would like to write a review on iTunes, we'd be very grateful. So we have been your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.